That burdens me about Brother Gallagher talking about that man. You don't know how that bothers me, but I'm glad he made that prayer request. Open your Bible, please, to the book of Exodus. And I love you folks, and I want you to pray for my wife. We got an appointment in the morning at 9:45. She's going to have her second round of chemo. That's tomorrow. And I hope it goes well for her. When I show this to you, and I want you to hear me out. Stay with it until you've heard the whole message. All right, in Exodus, please, in chapter 1, and I want to read in verse 1 when you find your place. Exodus chapter 1. Well, I wish I could be here for that mission conference. I'd like to just sit down and hear. I love to hear mission stories. I love missions. I love going to mission fields. Exodus, please. When is this thing? When is the mission conference? What's the day? 12th? Let me think where I'm going to be. I'll call you. I might be able to bring down about 4 or 5 preachers and let them get set here missionaries. I might be able to do that. All right, Exodus, please. I'm sitting here running my mouth, and I don't know where my wife will be at. I can't leave her very long, but we might be able to do it. Exodus, please, in chapter 1. Look in verse 1. Now, I'm a staunch believer in the King James Bible. Staunch believer. Now, the Bible was not always written in the chapter and verse form. So when you find the word now in your Bible, Exodus chapter 1, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Joseph died, and all of his brethren, and all that generation. Now pay real close attention. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and they increased abundantly, and multiplied, and they waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Brother Jay and Betty, when they pulled on the church parking lot, I turned my car around and was, which way am I facing? That way. But anyway, I turned my car around, and I was looking at them deer. And I was deer gazing. And I thought, well, look at how many of them. I just sat there and I was wanting to count them. Well, you normally don't see a herd of deer. And I thought, well, why don't somebody shoot some of them and sort of thin the herd out? That's what I thought. I'm thinking I'm going to get to hear a gunshot any time and see a deer drop. Well, then I got to looking around. There's a deer stand. And then I thought, well, they bait the thing. Every one of them's in a little clump. And I thought, now watch this, look, the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. I remember when you couldn't find a deer nowhere. Do y'all remember this almost extinct? Is anybody here at all? Y'all think I'm old coming on Noah's Ark, don't you? Now look in verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now that's important. He said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on now, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when they were falleth out any war, they join also to their enemies. Now, they're worried that the Israelites are going, these bunch of slaves, there's so many of them that if there ever was a war breakout, they're going to join affinity with them. Now, I want you to watch what happens. And fight against us, and so get up them out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters. Would you please underscore the word taskmasters? What, this is not facetious. The word taskmaster, I looked it up. I thought, all right, the Egyptians, they wanted a job done, all right? Now, I've been to Egypt. You could not, I went to Cairo, Egypt. If you fill this place with $100 bills, you couldn't get me to go back there. Honestly, I don't like the place. I don't like it. Well, we know that the world, the flesh, and the devil, we as people of God, we have to combat that every day of our life. And we know that Egypt is a type of the world. And we know that the world, the flesh, and the devil, we contend with. So we're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Now watch this. So they multiplied, but verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities unto Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, and the more they multiplied and grew, they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and all manner of service in the field, all of their service wherein they made them serve with rigor. Now, what I want you to listen to, I've been there to that. It's so hot. We're in Cairo, Egypt. Everybody's always talking about the Nile River. When you get on the Nile River and human waste is floating down the river, that's not too nice. And poverty, you've never seen nothing like it in your life. I don't care how much you shower, I don't care how much you clean yourself up. You walk out of a shower, you go out into the city of Cairo and just do this, and it's just pure dirt. And contrary to, how many of you have ever seen Egyptians in their garb and what they wear? You know what they wear. They wear a full thing down, like a dress, robe. I can't even tell you in a mixed audience how the human waste, it stinks to no end. They crowd themselves. They get in. Now, picture this. Israel is in Egyptian bondage. Now, looking before, I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Look back over, remember the word in chapter 1, in verse 1, now. But now look over, if you would, in verses 23 in Genesis chapter 50. Joseph saw that Ephraim's children of the third generation of Israel, of children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. That's important. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die and God will surely visit you. All right. Chapter 1, the book of Exodus, now they're in slavery, correct? They're in slavery. A slave had absolutely no rights whatsoever. These taskmasters, they're going to make sure that they get the job done. So they made it rough on them. Y'all have to agree with that. They made it rough on them to accomplish whatever the Pharaohs wanted. Now, here's what I want you to see. I guess, Jay, this ain't no disrespect to you. How old are you, Jay? 80? What? Are you really? Jay, you don't look like no 87 years old. Oh, excuse me, I'm talking to Jay here. You don't look no 87. That's sinful to have that much hair at 87. Jay, do you remember when you was a boy? Do you remember how it used to be in neighborhoods? They'd say, they're having a nervous breakdown. How many of y'all ever heard that phrase? They used to say this, Brother Lawrence. She had a nervous breakdown. Or he had a nervous breakdown. Look at that word, if you would, please. The more they afflicted them. In the same connotations, we're living in a world that's so pressurized that there's not only physical breakdowns, there's emotional breakdowns, and then there's spiritual breakdowns. Just like the Brother McGallagher was talking about that brother. I had a radio listener call me up and said, boy, asked me a question, said, would it be right if I kill myself? I said, ma'am, are you a saved person? Do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? She went on to tell me that she did. Then she said, but I don't want to live. I want to die. I said, why would you want to die? Look up here. Everybody look at me. There's wars on us like there's never been before. Wars. And primarily on your mind. Your mind's not saved. It has to be renewed. Read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me tell you why this woman wanted to die. You'll never know her. You'll never know her name. She said, Brother Sisson, I had a 9-year-old daughter, and she said her daddy molested her when she was 9 years old. She said he got 84 years in prison. This is the dad. When she turned 17, the young girl, she said she came in and she just dropped a bomb on her mom. She said, I am now a lesbian. Boy, that's pressure on people. Would y'all agree with that? That's pressure. And she said, I don't want to live. I have nothing to live for. If we'd really be honest, sometimes it just like we're all going to have an emotional breakdown. Now, I don't know how you feel. I don't know Brother McGallagher that much. That bothers me that a man would kill himself. But before y'all get too hard on people, brother, you get out of the will of God, there's no protection. You don't know what you'll do. Hey, Elijah wanted to die. Jonah wanted to die. John the Baptist said, he said, art thou here? Should we look for another? When he's in prison. So I'm saying, I know we got a hedge around us. I was trying to tell this lady. In Job chapter 1, The devil brought up Job. I know he said, and God says, hath thou considered my servant, Job? He says, you've got a hedge about him. The devil said that to God about Job. So there's a hedge about you and about your house and about all that you have. Amen, sister. But you see, if you get out of the will of God, there is no protection out there outside of the mercy of God. When you get out here in this world and people say, well, I know what I'll do, you better be careful about saying that. You better be careful. But now, let's go back. Now, won't you watch? I've never seen such things going on in my life. I get phone calls. I get more and more calls from the people. I got a preacher friend. You'll never know who he is. That's all right. I'm not going to mention his name. He's down in the Carolinas. He said, Brother Sisson, he pastors a pretty good-sized church, been there for about 28, 29 years, and you would think he's in the realm of success. He's got his family grown. He's a nice guy. He said, there's times that I don't even want to get out of the bed. He said, there's times that I lay in my room that I don't want to hear voices. I don't want to listen to nobody. I don't even want my wife to come in and talk to me. Now, I know that's hard for you to understand. But there's times, there's periods of darkness in all of our lives. And now watch it. I want you to get this. Now write it down for me. Watch this. Look back in your Bible, back up in verse 11. These taskmasters, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them. Well, if you go look up the word mean afflicted, it's in the connotations of a breakdown. Breakdown. I mean literally just falling apart. They afflicted them. But now I want you to watch what happens. To afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, now watch this, the more they multiplied and grew. It's in the trials, in the dark hours, is when we really learn lessons. We all agree with that? It's usually when the rug has been pulled out from under us, that's where we really learn. If you had told me, when I stood at the coffin of my boy, if you had told me that somehow or another that was for my good 13 years ago, I'd have never believed you. My heart was breaking. Do y'all understand what I just said? Romans 8:28, we quote the verse, brother, it's hard living. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. There's these dark hours sometimes in all of our lives. My wife, she can grow anything. I mean, literally, she's got a green thumb. She can grow anything. She grows it, I kill it. Don't mean to, I just kill it. She'll tell me if I go out to mow the grass, don't you mow over this or mow that or whatever. I hear that all the time. I come in from revival meeting Brother Noble, and have you ever seen poinsettia trees? A poinsettia tree. I'm talking about 20 foot in diameter, got all them big blooms. Y'all know what poinsettias are. A poinsettia tree. They're beautiful. Knocked down beautiful. But I went in took my clothes off, and there sat these poinsettias in the closet. I said, Mary, what are these doing in my closet? You got one. Why ain't they yours? She said, it helps them to grow in the dark. I said, it does what? She said, it helps them to grow in the dark. Well, you know how I am. I took that poinsettia, and I'll tell her about it one of these days, or some of y'all probably call her tonight and tell her. So I took one of the poinsettias, and I took it out, and so help me, took it out in the sunroom or her sewing room, and just set it there out by itself. Look at y'all. Y'all know y'all tattletales. Go call her up. So I just set it out there to see what would be the difference over a period of time. And so help me. In the closet, they were brighter, they were more colorful, but the one out there in the sunroom, it looked peaked. So in the hours of darkness, that's where we really grow or mature to some degree. But see, we rebel against that. We don't like afflictions in our, we don't like them. We like everything to go smooth. Amen. We like it. Hey, we all rebel at any kind of affliction in our life. But there's sickness and sorrow. My wife, Kathy, when that doctor looked at me and told me my wife had lymph node cancer, I'm telling you, Brother Lawrence, I can't explain it to you. I've been with people that have heart attacks, strokes. How would you like to be with a man and his daughter, and she's 22 years old, and she had to have her leg amputated? She came out of that OR, and they had removed her left leg, and that child screamed to the top of her lungs. I mean, she had no idea they'd removed her left leg. Only 6 hours later to go back in and remove the other leg. I was with that, and I thought that was a bad thing. Boy, when they told me my wife had cancer, I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it was my psychic. Maybe it was the frame of mind I was in that particular day. I don't know. Maybe I had my hopes up. Maybe I try to live right. I try to live a dedicated life. I try to do all the things right. But I walked in and that doctor said, "Your wife has got cancer. I'm sorry. We missed it." My mind immediately, I just thought to myself, how much more can we take? That's what I thought. Now don't look at me like that. Some of you thought the same thing sometime or another. I thought, how much more can we take? She's been in the hospital. They thought she was going to die. I'd sit beside her bed, me and my boys, and we tried my daughter, and I'm saying intensive care all them days, and I thought, how much more can this woman take? Or good attitude. And honestly, she didn't. She said, "We'll just take one day at a time." I said, "That's all we got anyway, honey." Let me show you tonight. Back up, and I want you to watch. Hours of darkness help us to grow. Paul said, "When I'm weak, then I'm made strong." Everybody, they don't want to be made weak. But he says, "Then I'm made strong." Let me show you this and write this on flat if you Bible. Look in verse 11. The more that to afflict them with their burdens, they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Brother Lawrence, do you have a concept of what it would have been like for them Israelites? Let's just say 110. Let's just say 110, right? Temperature-wise. All right? I'd say the taskmasters wanted this to accomplish whatever, make a good showing, would y'all? So they probably laid it on them Israelites. They pushed them to their limit to get it done. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now watch this. When I thought about these afflictions, I thought about, I love this country. I love being American. I love it. I'm very patriotic. But I'm thinking about what is waiting on us as Christians down the road. You know, in regards to what you think of Donald Trump, what do you think about when he sat before the whole world on national television and said they're killing Christians at a rate that's unfathomable? Christians. He used that word. You'd never heard Obama use it. He said they're killing Christians. That could be in America, but we don't believe that. Amen, Sisson. I believe with all my heart, brother, we're going to find out what a lot of us is made out of. But what I'm saying, the hard afflictions is going to come. But they help us to draw closer to the Lord. I'd like for it to think it does. But I want you to watch. You've got to write this down on your Bible in verse 12. The more they afflicted them, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and they grew. Well, I got to thinking about it. I thought about the hard afflictions. I thought about what Paul, the brother Gallagher this morning. Let me show you this. Go over to the book of Acts right quick. Acts chapter 20, I believe it is. I can quote the verse, but let me get over. I don't want to misquote it. In Acts chapter 20, listen to this. We're talking about hard afflictions. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the thing that shall befall me there. That's Paul. But now look at the next verse. Verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost ate. Did y'all see that? Raise your hand. The Holy Ghost saith. Notice what witnessing, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying, "Paul, you're the greatest preacher that ever drawed a breath." It doesn't say that. Look who's talking, the third part of the Trinity. He witnesses saying, bonds, did y'all see that? And what? Afflictions. Hey, everywhere Paul went, he wound up in jail. They beat him, they persecuted him, left him for dead. He probably did die. But my point is, he says what? That he says, save the Holy Ghost, witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Boy, but I like the next verse. But none of these things move me. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we didn't bend with that? I got to think about these heart afflictions. And I thought about it. He said, they're constantly with me. Brother Jay, I love Jay and Betty. They're precious people to me. Brother Jay, you've always been like a workhorse. You have. You've always been like a workhorse. So you had heart problems this year, past year? Are you sure it's a heart or a gizzard? Both? Okay, don't. I know you won't lie to me. I'm not using that word. When your health goes, that affects your mental. It also affects you spiritually. Sure it does. I got to thinking about these hard afflictions in our life. Hard afflictions. And I'm talking about, when you talk about hard afflictions, most Christians say, well, my car wouldn't start this morning. That's not the affliction I'm talking about. Well, I couldn't make it to this. I couldn't do this or that, or this broke up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about hard afflictions in your life. Usually, that's where it helps us to grow. But when your health goes down south, let me show you something. Y'all ready? Go over to the book of Philippians with me. I want you to watch this. How many of you are blessed with good health? Would you raise your hand? Good health? Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? How many of y'all believe Paul could get his prayers answered? Huh? Right? How many of y'all believe that the Apostle Paul was, I personally believe he wrote 14 books in the New Testament. I do. I believe if there's any man at all who could walk with or walked with God, it would be the Apostle Paul. I believe he could get his prayers answered. Would y'all believe that? Look in Philippians chapter 2 with me, please. I got a hold to this, and some of the brethren, when I had my first heart problem, then I had my second heart problem, they're good running their mouths. Look in Philippians, please, in chapter 2. Look in verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, Paul said, and my companion in labor and my fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. That's a pretty good, my brother, my fellow laborer. Look at your next verse. Paul says, for he longed after you all, was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. Why didn't Paul? Why, hey, Peter, get over here. Let's, at one time, they walked in Peter's shadow and they got healed. Why didn't Paul call a prayer meeting? Watch this. He was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Hallelujah. Say amen. God have mercy on him. Now, I want you to watch this. Not on him only, but also me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now, look down in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Somebody said, hey, Brother Broughton is always, he got up Sunday night. I preached for Celine Sunday night. And he's always giving me a fit over something last week. He's always telling them, and he loves doing this. Let me say that again. Y'all do know Noel Broughton, my preacher. How many of y'all know him? No, you made his acquaintance. You don't know him. You know who I'm talking about. He went over to the post office, and they was all razzing me and kidding me and talking about, they do things to me over there that shouldn't be done to no human. In my post office box, they cram it full of junk mail till I can't even get the mail out of it. It takes me forever just to get it out of my box. Or they leave me a mouse trap, and it loaded. That's in my box. Or then they leave me a box of coal in my box. Or they leave me a box of Depends in my box. And they laugh and cut up and laugh and cut up. And so Brother Broughton goes over and they say, hey, Brother Sisson, you know Brother Sisson. Oh, yeah, I know Brother Sisson. Then he goes on to tell them, hey, y'all have been with us that time. We went over to Mount Vernon, the building full of people, and Preacher Sisson got up there to pray, said, oh, God, Lord, please. I said, I meant to say, illuminate my mind. He said, eliminate his mind, and said, God answered that prayer. He loves telling everybody that. And usually he don't, everywhere I go, he won't tell them, see, we've been together 50-some years, and he'll say, that little black preacher comes on the radio at 1 o'clock. That's what he loves to tell everybody. So I was there for Sunday night. Boy, I got even with him. I did. Do y'all have jugs, jug money, little kids? Man, we had this jug, and we set it up there. And so these little girls and boys, they come and get the money, and they go put it in the jug. I love this. So Noah goes to get $1 bills. He gets that every Sunday night. Just sure as you take a breath, he's going to go get 10 $1 bills and give it to different kids. This one little girl sitting way back in the back, the prettiest knockdown little girl you ever seen, about 3 or 4 years old, and they hadn't been coming very long. So they go up there like this, and they get that dollar from Noah. Are y'all with me? Get the dollar from him. And so they'll take the dollar, and they put it in the jug. So this pretty little girl, went up there, but he was out of singles. He didn't have no more ones. Are y'all with me? He didn't have no ones, and he pulled out like this, and he said, I ain't got nothing but a 10, and you ain't getting that. So I happened to be sitting back there. So I got up right quick, and that little girl was getting money, and I give her some money. And I wished I had it on video. She said, nay, 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 nay. Talking to Brother Broad, nay, nay, nay. Oh, I had me the best time with that. I run with it like a bass at a fish. But what I'm saying, I was telling Brother Noah, the hardships that comes in your life, I like smooth sailing. We don't like adversity. We don't like afflictions. I was telling them about Sunday night when I was in New Guinea. Boy, God gave me one of the greatest illustrations I ever had in my life. I'll never do this again by the help and grace of God. Raymond Sorrells literally betrayed me, that sorry, no-count thing. Send him a copy. He had something else to do, so we had to go with this, one of his men that he'd won to the Lord, on top of a 27-mile mountain. Him driving like Richard Petty. I never prayed so much in my life. Mary was scared to death. I mean, literally, Mary was terrified. Not just us. Everybody on the bus was that way. He'd go around a curve, I'm told a hairpin curve, meeting people, blowing the horn. Boy, I was praying. We got up on top of that mountain. And you know us crazy people that want souvenirs? What kind of people brings home rocks? So I seen this water, I mean, it was ice cold. We're up in the mountains and it's beautiful. That creek is so swift you couldn't, no way in the world you could walk across it. And I think I'm pretty much of a country person. That boy that we drove like Richard Petty, I said, boy, I'd like to get that rock. He said, come here and I'll show you. He's speaking in melodies and pidgin, and Yvonne was translating. And he wanted me to pick that rock up. I could pick the rock up. That's before I had a hard problem to tell me to pick the rock up, hold the rock. He said, pick the rock up. So I picked the rock up, and I'm like, what is this? What's he wanting me to do? I'm already mad at him about trying to kill me. So I picked the rock up, and he said, like this. So he picked the rock up, and what just kept doing me to do. So I picked the rock up, went right across that creek with him, and I'm thinking, why am I packing this rock over there? And he said, rock, hold you down. Y'all ain't getting it. That weight of that rock, it's slippery, but I'm holding the rock, and the very thing that I thought was a difficult thing to carry kept me grounded. Pretty good, wasn't it? What I'm saying is the hard afflictions in our life, they help us to grow. They keep us grounded. Let me show you something else. Write it down for me. I'm back. Well, Ephoritus was sick, nigh to death. Brother Noah was talking about my health, about the problems I've had, and he's had a lot of health problems. I thought to myself, God help us to see and not be critical of people until we walked a few miles in their shoes. Go back to the book of Exodus right quick now. It won't take me long. What time is it? Still 6 o'clock. All right. The hard afflictions in life. Now, I want you to watch this. Everybody, if you'll look in your Bible, verse 12, the more they afflicted them. Did y'all get that? The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Well, everybody has hard afflictions, I believe, but we all need help sometime or another. Sometime or another, you're going to need help, amen. And sometimes it's a difficult time for people to just say, help me, amen. But we're all in the same battle, and we ought to be honest enough to say, help me. Just simple words. Now, I want to show you what I mean. The more they afflicted them, the more they grew. I thought about these problems that Paul had, the problems that the early Christians had. Brother, have y'all got a picture of Obadiah Holmes? Where's he at? Have y'all ever looked at these pictures on the walls? Ain't Obadiah Holmes, ain't he? I think he's over there. when they whipped him unmercifully. I know you've got one. Right here it is, ain't it? Ain't that Obadiah over there? There. But hey, you ought to read. You ought to read what the early Christians went through with just to take a stand for the Lord Jesus. Hey, they put them in. They put preachers in jail for just mentioning Christ. We think we've got it so bad, but we all need help. Amen. Year 2017, the heart afflictions is going to come. Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you where their help come from. All right, if you go back to Genesis 50, when Joseph told them, God's going to visit you. Did y'all get that? God is going to visit you. I want you to look down at verse 25, Genesis chapter 50. Joseph took an oath before the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones up from thence. Shall is an emphatic word, but verse 20. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him and was put in a coffin in Egypt. All right? The word now in the book of Exodus, now, get that. They had something else. They had a hope, amen. Hey, my hope is not in Donald Trump. No. My hope is not in the Republican Party. My hope is in, guess what? He's going to visit us. He's going to come and say, come up out of here, thank God. Ain't that a blessing? That's what I live for. They got a hope because he told them, said, don't you leave my bones down here. Put them in a coffin. That's the first time he found the word coffin. And then the word Egypt. Now, or embalmed, or coffin. Hard afflictions are going to come, but we all just need help, amen, sometime or another. I love what James says. I love in James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace, amen. We think sometimes we'll never see daylight. We think sometimes this will never end. Hey, he always gives more grace. Ain't that a blessing? Old Tom Hayes sings that song, New Grace. I love the words of that song. Well, there has to be hard afflictions in our life. And when we look back, we realize, hey, he was with you all. Hey, who in this auditorium knows the unseen hand? Where are you at? Do you really? Can you sing the last verse? My voice won't let me, but can you sing it? Get it? I want you to get it. I want you to listen to this. I was thinking about this afternoon. I can read it, but I'd rather he did. And I want you to watch, Brother Bradley. Read the last verse. You can't get your arms any farther out. Unseen hand. Okay. Listen to the last verse. Have you ever thought about who behind the scene of the unseen hand that's in your life? That guides you, guards you, protects you. I don't know how y'all feel. I had a lady, she's one of the most saintliest women, if there is such a thing, that I ever met in my life. She too has cancer, but it's worse than my wife. And I love them. I mean, I just love Sandy and her husband, Kurt. She has cancer, but it's in the fourth stage. I went to see her in the hospital, and all of her hairs came out. All of her hairs came out, and she just almost don't have no hair at all. She was holding Kurt by the hand, and she looked at me, and they've been married, I don't know, 50-some years. And she said, Brother Sisson, I need to talk to you. I said, what, Miss Sandy? She has a prayer life. It's unbelievable. Her walk with God is unbelievable. She looked up at me, and she's holding Kurt's hand. And she said, would it be wrong for me not to have any more treatments? I don't want to live anymore. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what can I say to her? She said, I just don't want to live no more. The way I'm living, I just don't want to live. She said, she's talking to her husband. Talking to me, she said, I love Kurt with all my life. But I just don't want to live no more. She said, I want to go home. And I thought, what can I say to her? What can I do? And about that time, a nurse came in with a tray. So after she left, I sort of got my thinking and my thoughts. And I asked her, I said, Miss Sandy, I said, do you believe that God gives doctors knowledge and wisdom? Yeah. I said, do you believe Luke was a physician in the Bible? Yeah. I showed her Philippians 2 and I read it to her about Epaphroditus. I said, he was sick nigh unto death, but for the work of Christ's sake. I said, have you ever thought about it? I said, I'm not trying to answer your question. I said, but do you ever think about this? God's not done with you. I said, if he is done with you, he done took you home. I said, you can pray for me. You can pray for Kurt. You can pray for our church and pray for the people in our church. You can pray for these ladies that come in here and wait on you. I said, you can tell them how y'all's marriage been, that he stayed together 50-some years. You can tell them about your love for the Lord. Well, big old tears run down her face. But I don't think I'll ever forget to my dying day. I don't want to live no more. I don't want to live no more. How would you answer? Boy, I'm glad I've got a hope. I mean a hope that's beyond this world. And let me show you what I mean. Joseph, it says there arose one that knew not Joseph. But now guess what? Joseph says God is going to visit you. See, our time frame's not his. But it don't relegate. We still got that hope. Jesus will come and he'll right all the wrongs. Heart afflictions is going to come. I hope you don't ever have one of them phone calls. I hope you don't ever have nobody look up at you and say, I don't want to live no more. I went the other day, went to jail, Larry, just visiting. They're going to get him one of these days. But I went over to jail, and everybody knows me. And I told her, I said, I need a pastor. Let me have a pastor's visit. That's where you can go in, and they'll bring the inmate. They'll set you down at a table. You put your hands on top of the table. You don't never put your hands underneath the table. And you sit there, and they'll give you all the time you want. That's a pastor's visit. Now, if you just go visit somebody in the jail, you'll talk through a telephone. You got that through a piece of glass. So I'm sitting there talking to him. And I'm telling you, when them doors done that, and I sort of jumped, I mean doors that thick. We sat there for about 45 minutes, and we had prayer. And I'm glad that woman, she said, Brother Sisson, just face the door. When I faced the door opened. Now, when I stepped out, the door closed. I said, glory to God, I'm glad I'm out of this place. In a millisecond, I was locked up, and in a millisecond, I was let out. That's how it's going to be for us. In a millisecond, all these burdens and battles that we face is going to be over. The broken hearts, we won't have to face them no more. But the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. My daughter, most of y'all know little old Kim. She's a little short thing, my only daughter. And she married Al, and he's 6'5", weighs 245. Not an ounce of fat on his body. Just a big old man. Kim was having birth pains to bring Mary Beth into this world. And Al said, she'd been in labor about 10 or 12 hours, and Kim said, honey, you can go, just go. Al said, I'm hungry. I said, well, go get you something to eat. We're just sitting here with Kim. So Al gets up, fixed to go through the door, and all of a sudden, boy, Kim has one of them birth pains. She screams like that and scared Al to death. I wish y'all been there. He just froze like it. Then he asked me, he said, is she always like that? I said, no, that pain hit her. I know sometimes that our lives feel like sometimes we're at our wit's end. Hard afflictions in life, and sometimes we just can't find strength to go on. But I'm telling you, folks, there's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's the blessed hope that Jesus will soon come and right all the wrongs. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. God will surely visit you. Genesis 50, God will surely visit you. God will surely visit you. Listen to this. I was at the other day, come on, Brother Bradley. I was with a woman. Give me a hand, Brother Jay. I was with a woman in the hospital. And they said her feet, honestly, for God, was the coldest I've ever seen anybody's feet in my life. The nurse said it won't be but a few minutes. I'm sitting there with her hand like this, and she's holding my hand and holding her daughter's hand. And in a millisecond, the angels come and got her. In a millisecond. Y'all would think her hands would have loosened, wouldn't it? Wouldn't y'all think that? That her hands would have loosened? But she tightened up on my hand and helped my hand. Lord, I thought, angelic beings is in this room. Do y'all ever think like that? Carry her right into the presence of God. Ain't that a blessed hope? And I thought, that's going to happen to me if I have to go by the way of the grave. I'm going to get my sorry brother and I'm going to say, sit down beside me. I want you to watch somebody die that knows the Lord. How about that?
No, I ain't going to do that.
Hey, Brother Bradley, let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. Lord, our heart afflictions in this life. God, may we glean and gather from knowing this, that, Lord, the children of Israel, the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. Help us, Lord, not to rebel when heart afflictions come. Lord, you know that sleepless nights that some people have. Lord, I pray for this man that Brother Gallagher mentioned. I pray for the family. God, be near and dear to them. Lord, your ever-present help in time of need. God, you know the need of every heart in this building. Some of them, Lord, they're going through hard afflictions, children breaking their hearts. God, we don't even know what path that some of them are having to trod, but help them, Lord, is my prayer. If there's one here unsaved, God, finger around that heart and draw them. I pray in Jesus' name.